If I, what I'd like to do is, if you guys could give me a response, first I'm going to start with what the role of a deacon is. And I guess that some of you, I don't do the PowerPoint, I do it through, so this is a donation to, this is awesome. If you can, give me some key points of what the role of a deacon is.
Okay. We had a number of them over here.
Just do one at a time. I can work.
Okay. Our group said that the role of a deacon is to serve others.
In what way?
Maybe some of the other things here. I'll just give you. Helping those in need financially and spiritually.
Okay. So financially, that's a dollar sign. Okay. And
to be sense of the risk. There was discussion about to be sensitive to the individual's needs, particularly even a deacon should be anticipate what needs of individuals in the congregation and in and outside of the congregation was, and be proactive. The description was given there of, as you see a need developing, you will begin to take steps even before someone asks to be ready to meet that.
So you kind of anticipate.
You don't wait for somebody to ask you to have help, but you are already taking steps to meet that. There's a high sense of awareness that goes with that. A deacon will know the resources of the in the church and outside the church. And the
is that resources meaning money?
Goods and services,
be able to maybe a referral source, be able to know the needs of other jobs, what other churches are doing, networker with other groups in the community. A deacon will show a lot of sympathy and empathy to individuals and with their needs, be willing to go through grieving processes with the individual, pray with people. Have I scared anybody away yet? Participating in...
Let me go to another couple of things left. Okay.
Two last things.
Okay.
You participate in ministry and the evangelism that results from that. And then you want to be active in it. And the last thing is to take steps to help the elder board so that they can do their job more effectively by relieving them of any responsibilities.
Partnership.
Connections.
Work. A good collaboration with your elders.
All right. Any other highlights for deacons?
I think the only thing, we're looking more at broad strokes. Basically we saw it as being a deacon is you're an instrument of restoration. In other words, that when the deacons were called apart from the spiritual leaders in the first church, it was to relieve them of that responsibility so they could focus on the education, the build-up, the edification of the believers. And then this other group, which you had talked about, a partnership concern, moves into the people's daily lives, and it's more of a restorative action on the part of the body, part of the gospel coming to those people in places where they live day-to-day. It's really a restoration. You're an instrument of restoration moving into their lives in whatever capacity it is that they have need in, and being equipped to do that. All the other things that he had talked about go towards that, toward that mission. We reflect Christ to them and bring him into that by availing ourselves to that ministry in a different way than the teachers and evangelists do.
Anything else? All right. Thank you. All right. Now, before I go into this side of the room, food store, I'm going to begin by telling you a little bit about our thrift shop history and then the value and the purpose of a thrift store. and then I'll later explain our connections with CityMed. First, just kind of the history of our thrift store. We've been in our new 10,000 square foot location, which isn't big enough, but that's where we are, for almost 2.5 years. But this ministry really began over 20 years ago in a food co-op ministry happening in someone's kitchen. This was back in the early 1980s, and I think we have some older people. I guess you guys were born on them. You know that? Anyway, I was born and raised in Colorado, and it was my brother and his wife who asked me to come to visit the East Coast. My brother, Gary, was here at Westminster. My sister-in-law was a teacher at Philmont. The first few days, I went to class with Gary, and it was also my days of culture shock. As we drove down into the city, and this was this urban ministry class, it was this January class, I drove down with one of Gary's classmates who told me he was Greek. Well, I had never met a Greek before. You know, in Colorado, we have Mexicans, Greeks, dark hair, you know, what's the difference? Anyway, driving into the city where I had never seen a row house before, you know, in Colorado, we have apartments, but that was a big shock, seeing these row houses after row house after row house. Interestingly, one of the first places in the city that we visited was this urban ministry class, was the Cutts Center, Center for Urban Theological Studies, which is Bill Crispin's baby. And then a visit to the Skilton House, which, I can remember that, this was like 25 years ago, this multicultural housing in the city.
Very important movement for that.
Okay. Well, anyway, my first 2 weeks vacation ended up calling my mother to ask her to send me my passport. Even though I graduated from a Christian college in Spokane, Washington, I still questioned Christianity. I wanted to spend a year at Le Brie in Switzerland, and this was when Francis Schaeffer was there. Actually, he was back and forth going through chemo. But it was an elder at New Life who said, "Jen, Le Brie is a great place to visit. Go to Europe, study, travel, but it would be better that you come back to Philadelphia, be discipled, and live a real life." Well, by the end of 1980, I traveled, I moved back to the East Coast, I began being discipled, and I married a Greek. And if anybody saw that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I'm the Xeni, the stranger, that's a Greek word. And those are all my flashbacks. I went through even Greek school. Well, marrying a seminary student, I married into debt. I became involved in a food co-op ministry that began in the Blankenbecklers' kitchen, who they later moved to Morocco for missions. And this was a place to break down bulk food at purchased at wholesale price. Now, when I say bulk food, I'm talking about these 25 pounds of brown sugar, these big things of honey, all that kind of stuff. And this was also before we had BJ's and Costco's and Sam's Club. That was before this time. And I don't know who decided on that 7% markup, but the excess food, or whatever was left over, was given away to single moms and others with financial needs. This reminds me of the Book of Ruth, one of my favorites in the Old Testament, where Boaz made sure that when Ruth gleaned the fields or picked up the leftovers, the leftover grain left behind by the harvesters. Let me remind you that this was a woman who worked hard and steadily, a woman full of compassion for Naomi, a woman of suffering, and how God blessed her with plenty to care for others. Anyway, years later, this food co-op ministry, now we're at New Life Glenside, this food co-op ministry became a food cupboard. It was through this food broker who I ordered from, Tom Ferson, who's now actually the executive director of the Beehive or Sunday Breakfast thrift store. And he said, "Jen, instead of the half dozen bags that you're paying for to give away, you could fill your whole van from food from the Philadelphia Food Bank." And let me remind you that this food cupboard ministry has continued and still exists. With oversight of the deacons, every week many churches or small groups serve dinner, and that's a time of fellowship, and then give bags of food away, not just to people who come to our church, but to the community as well. Shortly after the food cupboard was handed over to the deacons and moved to another part of the basement, I began doing the same thing with clothing. Now we're in the early 1990s. We began receiving hand-me-downs, which, you know, I have four kids, and all my kids have all these hand-me-down clothes, and even damaged clothing from a few stores. And we spent hours sorting, hanging, and then giving the stuff away. It was Marie Alwell, I don't know if any of you know her, who years ago, she was one who used to feed the homeless down the Logan Circle. And she was a deaconess, but this was also before our church had women as deaconesses. Anyway, she's the one who opened this closet door that we were in into a classroom and suggested that I start a thrift store. And the purpose was to charge a minimal amount for the clothing and that people will better respect what they pay for rather than getting everything for free. And then the purpose was then to use the money to support women, to support the deacons to minister to women in crisis. Well, in 1995, Nicholas Black, who's the director of our children's ministry, he allowed me to start a thrift store in just a fourth of the classroom. As the thrift store donations and sales continued to grow, I gradually took over the classroom. I got these rolling racks. In the summer, when the nursery school was on break, I would use the hallways. Throughout the week, I would have outdoor sales. Whenever allowed, I would have upstairs in our fellowship room, have indoor bazaars and flea markets. I stored things wherever I was allowed and where I was not allowed. The overabundance of all that we could ask or imagine. 3 years ago, we presented a video to our church to communicate some of the day-to-day events in our store and our request to allow us to purchase the building that we're now in. And so what we're going to do, we're just going to show you this video that we showed the church. And if you don't like the music, don't worry. Some of you will, some of you don't. I know some of you did, but anyway.
I think that New Life's Thrift Store has really been a wonderful opportunity for the community to give back. I think it's a ministry within itself. And I think it's really been a blessing to some of the people that I work with actually, how to pick up clothes for them and buy them next thing and represent Christ.
So having a survival to get something.
think it's very nice for families in need. And if you want to watch it, this is a very nice place to show. The Westminster Seminary group has students from 43 different countries across the world. And many of those students are hard-pressed and maybe have to leave. The work the Friends Show go through provide clothes and furniture for our students, particularly our African students, help our people get through their years of study.
A lot of things,
you know,
a little bit of money.
If it was
a little bigger, that would be nice.
Hi, I'm Charlie Carlin. I'm a school social worker for Abington School District. Some families that have had somewhat of a crisis and been homeless have been able to get a fresh start again with a lot of support and furniture and household items.
Some of these people are blessed when they come in and out of these doors. It's just neat to see how everyone has worked through this wonderful, wonderful place.
Yes, hi. This is a message for Jennifer and Paul. This is Ron Elkin from Hockey Ministry in Philadelphia. You donated some of the furniture to a family that we're working with. The man who was there who has been trying to get to know who is helping them. We witnessed to him several times, and he is dead professionally. Seems like he made a real commitment to the Lord. Part of ability to connect with them through giving the furniture is very helpful. So I want to express my thankfulness to your store for doing that. God bless.
Okay. Now, I guess I'd like to get some feedback from you guys over here on the purpose and goals of a thrift store. And I guess some of you guys can show us some of this. Anybody? Okay. Does anybody want to give me what is the purpose of a thrift store?
We said the purpose was to be able to accept and offer high quality secondhand goods to the general public for an inexpensive cost.
So, what we're accepting donations and then?
Also offering secondhand goods inexpensively. Also, we talked about the fact that it gives an outlet for people to bless others through not only donating, but also a blessing to provide the secondhand goods to other people. It works both ways.
Okay. Anybody else?
The money that's raised can support other ministries.
Also
enables the church to be visible in the community.
Visible.
Okay. You said it was an opportunity to connect and to develop relationships with people in the community.
All right, what else?
We said that it's by providing the physical goods, it provides a bridge to social and spiritual needs of the person's life.
Social.
Money.
We have paid
jobs. Job training.
What I want to do is just tell you a little bit about the value of our thrift store, what we've done. And then I'll add to this in just a moment. Having been blessed, we have had volunteers. It's been great. And it's been great now. We have 25 employees at our work right now. But also board members. We now presently have 10 board members. And, you know, we're a nonprofit. You know, board members don't get paid for being there. But they would all resign if I gave them work to do at the thrift store. So I'm just thankful for doing the work for me. Most importantly, Bill Crispin, who has spent much time helping our management become better organized, help us develop our annual budget, our job descriptions, and ways to communicate more clearly. And as he would say, what was once our small mom-pop store has become a large retail business. Our first year of gross sales, and like I said, we've been in our new location 2.5 years. Our first year of gross sales in our new location was over $500,000 and continues to increase with this year's projections over $700,000. But there continues to be a lot to learn and grow from. Let me emphasize that this has been a self-supporting ministry from day one. And it was a blessing to be at the church. You know, I wasn't charged our rent and our utilities, things like that. But we began on a volunteer basis, and it's always been a real blessing to have volunteers. What began in a closet has demanded time and continuous commitment. It has continued to be labor intensive, and not the same way. People still didn't even realize that we had to roll this back and make it a classroom every Saturday, and then Monday we'd roll it back and make it a thrift store. But it's not the same labor that we go through right now, but we're still going through a lot of labor where we're at now. We're continually learning from our mistakes and learning ways to plan ahead rather than always putting out fires. As part of this is like even putting together our annual budget and budgeting our finances. And realizing that our sales will level out. There's only so much that we can do in the 10,000 square foot property, which, like I keep on saying, it's not big enough. Anyway, what we kind of did was I presented this is stuff that we do in our board meetings, and I also just did a presentation to the kind of the network of the CityNet deacon meeting that went on. And what I did is just kind of showing just how we have grown from, we haven't been keeping track of all of our details, you know, in the last 10 years that we've been there, but we are on a continuous growth in our sales. If you look at this upper line, this is where we are at our new location. And as you look, our sales are continually increasing. If you look at here, this kind of shows you, and I keep on shaking, so let me just hold this here so I don't shake. This is, you know, kind of what our current sales are. We're learning to be more responsible and just in our budgeting, in our expenses. And then this yellow kind of shows what our finances, the stuff that we're giving away. Now, when I talk about things that we're giving away, you know, like when we're giving away goods and things, that's not even included in the dollar amount that is on here. Part of the thing, let me just kind of explain what we did. Bill Crispin had us put together kind of a chart because he said, you know, your board members know where your money's going, but like he's had us start writing down things of where, like different places that we're giving away to and just different relationships. So what we did, we kind of put together this one chart, which kind of, I don't know if you can all read it from back there, but this is kind of our new life thrift store. And kind of what we did here, we try to keep in this in the, the green here, this is kind of our local, our outreach that we have. You know, we're supporting, you know, our deacons. We're doing, you know, we're supporting Cradle of Hope, which is a pro-life place right in Glenside here. And then we try to go even larger to more regional, and then here is more global. But then we just kept on adding all these things. So even as I presented this to my board, kind of explaining, you know, things that we're doing, it was still, as you look at it and you're reading all these things, it's kind of hard to understand. So I guess part of the thing is even as what we have just been seeing is just our ministry, we kind of looked at it, you know, kind of like a cross. And what we did, we put together another chart, which kind of, and I'll explain that in just a minute. But here, as you look here, this is kind of the connections. And even though, you know, we are the deacons, but yet we are a diaconal ministry in what we're doing, and we're providing financially. And that's kind of this, that's why I kind of put things down in this section here. When you look over here, this is kind of the goods and services that we do, the goods. Up here is kind of the services connections. You know, we're doing job training, things like that. And then here is relationships. You know, so that's, you know, we look at the cross and we realize that everything that we have is a gift from God. You know, the blood of Christ has been given to us, but he's the one who has blessed us and given us the ability to do the things that we're doing. Now, I'll have Stassi kind of pass out this is kind of a chart that we, you know, we did this one chart that explained this, but then we put together, this is kind of a new one that we put together that explains some of the things. So what I'll do, Stassi can just pass it out, but I'll just go ahead and start explaining, you know, some of the things that we're doing. We're giving. You know, this is something that I presented also to my board because, you know, part of our bylaws right now is, our current bylaws is that 50% of our profit goes to our deacons, 50% is our outreach. So here, just in this top corner, you'll see, you know, we are giving financially to our deacons, but again, like I was saying, this is kind of our local connections that we have. We've been blessed to even having connections, as you saw Charlie Carl, who was on our video, he's with Addington School. You know, that's kind of a local thing. But what, like financially, what we've been doing, we've been giving to Addington PAL, which is the Police Athletic League. And I think that's kind of a blessing that we have, is to be able to give kind of beyond what our deacons are able to do. Our deacons can give inward into the church connections, but this is a way that we have connections outward, like into our community. Because a lot of times people will come into our thrift store and they'll say, you know, where does your money go? You know, if we say our deacons, well, most people don't know what the word deacon means, but it's that we'll say, yeah, you know, we're providing, you know, money for our food cupboard. You know, we have that we're feeding and we're giving food away to our community. We're also, you know, when we're communicating, you know, that just the connections that we're having with our community and financial things that we're giving away, that's and it just gives opportunities to be sharing the love of Christ to our community. As you look here, again, kind of this is our regional. You know, we're giving to UFC, Urban Family Council, Alpha Pregnancy, Harvest USA. And one of the things, this also communicates to people what our values are. You know, that we are very pro-life. You know, we believe in abstinence. And there's just, it's just ways that we're to communicate. Globally, as you look globally, you're able to give. Recently, our board just gave $5,000 to the London ASHA team, that's Bob Heppy's, where they're doing expanding their thrift store in London. We gave money to Stand for Africa, which supports AIDS in Africa. Actually, and John, Steve DeMoss, who works with, he's one who was in Uganda years ago, and this was basically Jack Miller's, one of the places where Jack Miller went years ago, where we have also been able to send money directly to Uganda with Steve, and Steve DeMoss is one who has been going down. In fact, my husband and my son went to Uganda last year with a team there, and there's so many needs, and that's why we're just trying to say, you know, God's blessing us so much that we can give not just here and to our deacons and to Glenside, but we want to be out reaching out globally as well. Now, if you look at the goods side over here, this kind of shows you, again, Delta, which is a local place on Mount Carmel at Glenside, which supports foster care. And it's really neat. What we were doing, we weren't giving to them financially, but we were giving them gift certificates. And basically when these foster parents would come in, they could come in and get clothing for the kids and things, and it's just opportunities for us to express our thankfulness for them to just take the time, the effort of being a foster parent. The homeless ministry is a ministry where that hasn't been a, it's not money that we give directly to the homeless ministry. I know that there's a connection down at Liberty that they're doing, but there's a group of people that go down every week and they're feeding the homeless. Now they're coming and we're basically just giving things that are already out on our floor. It's Nelson's brother who comes and he'll find the right size shoes and the right jackets and coats and things that we're basically, they'll come to the register, but it's basically stuff that we're giving away for free. And that's not including the blankets that we normally would not be selling just because if there's stains or tears or things like that, we wouldn't sell it at the thrift store, but we're still giving it away to the homeless ministry there. And then the kind of the globally in goods, we have just connections. There was as you saw in the video, the Westminster students that are coming that we're giving things away. I just talked to a guy just the other day from Cameroon where we are providing just clothing and just typical, you know, the Westminster students will come over thinking that they need a computer and they need something, but then they'll bring their wives and then they realize, oh, we need dishes and we need coats, we need warm coats, we need things. So it's just an opportunity for us to give a lot of stuff away. And then when you go up here and you look at services, we are doing job training. We recently been working. Just a guy entered our store and he works with us, welfare and work program in Philadelphia, and we hope to get connections with Montgomery County. But we are basically giving a place to be doing job training for people, which teaches them to have accountability, that they show up on time, that they're developing relationships, you know, just with the people that are in our store. We have a kid who is not able to be in his school during the day. He's in an after-school program, so we have brought him in, and we're giving him job training, and it's a paid position that he has, but it's just the services that we're doing, kind of the connections that we're having. You know, you think about, and I could go through and kind of explain all this, but we have, like, services. We did a thrift shop planning the Custers, who were, they moved up to Anvil. They moved into a property which is 30,000 square feet, like three times the size of ours. And I basically went up there for a week just to do the layout, just to be showing them how to run a thrift store, you know, in the right way. And it's just from learning from a lot of mistakes and what to do and what not to do. And again, we've done, one of the things with the services, I recently hired a girl to, kind of the goal was to help her understand all the details of running a thrift store so that she can go down and into the city. She attends Spirit and Truth, and for her to be able to start a thrift store down the city. Now she's our manager, so it's good that she has to learn all the details of things going on. And then in our relationships here, we look here. Every morning it's a paid time for our workers to come in, and it's two, we have our fellowship and our time of prayer. And I think the really neat thing about that is that it just brings people in to pray for one another, but for the whole staff to understand and be part of the vision. So it's not just my vision to be doing all these things, but it's having the whole staff pray for one another. We have opportunities to pray. Even throughout the day, we have opportunities to pray with customers coming in our door. People who would never enter a church come into our thrift store. I mean, after I had brain surgery, Mrs. Israel took me out for lunch, and Mrs. Elsa, Mrs. Tyner, these Jewish ladies were reaching out to me. But I have continued to have relationships with these people. And it's just people who would not come into our store. We have Milestone, which is right down on Eastern Road. You know, we're being able to love the transvestite who comes in our store. We have one of the other things that has really been neat is just having the network of other deacons. The Mercy Net, you know, again, it's been the blessing to be a part of doing that. And also just kind of our connections with other thrift stores. We have, like, with the Whosoever Gospel, we have connections with them as well. But, again, if we can continue to pray for them with the things that they're going through. Other things, like you look up here, and this is also, it's not just relationships that we have outwardly, but it's also relationships inwardly. I went into an Urban Outfitters place, and when I told them about kind of some of the things that we're doing, we haven't developed our webpage yet, we're still working on that, but when I told my kids that Urban Outfitters is now going to send us boxes of stuff, now all the kids want to come to the food shop. And hopefully we'll get this.
Can you tell us when those boxes are distributed?
It was last week. That was our first box.
Is it all gone already?
No, is it all gone? All these jeans and there's some jewelry. A necklace for $28, I'll probably put like $4, $3 on it. Anyway, that's kind of the thing that we're doing. As this ministry has continued to be a ripple in the pond, this is Bill Crispin's ripple in the pond, and you kind of look up here and you just say, you can see how just all these things, you know, the first initial thing that we had, you know, just had a couple things on there, but then, oh yeah, you know, we just had this woman from, you know, from Abington Hospital, she's pregnant with a third child, and, you know, just opportunities that we have just to be a blessing. Reality is God has continued to bless our store, and everything that we have is a gift from God. And we want to be wise in the way that we handle everything that enters and exits our doors. People don't realize what a blessing it was to receive a U-Haul truckload of donations. And yet this was when we were in our other, you saw the video, you know, the things outside, and here we would have these outdoor sales because there's nowhere to put it on the inside. This was on a Saturday. I had this U-Haul come full of furniture, and this was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, not realizing that it's Saturday, we had to roll this back, and you know, like, where are we going to put all this stuff? Mm-hmm. On that same day, we received a request from this family that just came from Africa with only a few suitcases of clothing. And it's just neat to be able to send that U-Haul directly to their apartment and just give this stuff away. Mm-hmm. And that was God's timing. This need of mercy and justice continues to happen. And I've asked my board members, you know, where do I draw the line when I receive a request from someone in our church who asks for furniture, and then to send that person back to the deacons, since we've just financially supported our deacons thousands and thousands of dollars. But then what do I do when I receive a call from a social worker from Abington School informing us of a need for a single mother who just moved to our township? They needed not just clothing, they needed furniture, they needed mattresses, blankets, dishes, so that they could be relocated due to abuse and other issues. Do I tell them just to come in and shop in our store just like anyone else? Do we deny supporting the widows or the single parents, the orphans, the homeless, the poor and the weak? And then again, where do we draw the line? Do we give everything away for free? The other reality is our store has continued to grow, which is visible on these charts. One of our requests to our board that we just recently had was, and we thought, this is also a request, I have a couple people on the session, just our need of a Mercy Net director or a paid, this would be like a paid deacon. And this would be a person who could coordinate and connect those who have needs with those who could meet those needs. This Mercy Net director would not just be a doer, but a delegator between the churches that are connected, and could network our goods, our abundance, our services to be shared for the body of Christ and by the body of Christ. We are grateful to be connected with CityNet, whose vision is to network the gospel-centered churches of the greater Philadelphia area so that many people come to Christ and that we partner together in a ministry of word and deed. And our prayer is to help the network of churches and believers be more effective in sharing the gospel of grace, compassion, and mercy. And I hope that I've shown you that the thrift store is a mercy ministry and valuable to the church, a ministry not just to provide low-cost, affordable clothing and items, but also to provide jobs, goods, services, and develop relationships. In Acts 1:8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that's what the ministry of our thrift store is to be a witness in our community, our region, and beyond. A ministry not only in word, but in deed as well. Does anyone have any questions, or am I on my time?
Actually, we're going to have time for questions.
We're directly, we're not at New Life Church, we're the next light down. We're directly across from Copper Beach Elementary School.
Okay, Jen, thank you very much. And of course, we'll have opportunities to ask questions of Jeff and Jen and the next person that's going to come out.